If God's been good to you, let's give him praise and thanks. We bless your name. We praise your name. We worship you, oh God. We bless your name, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you've received something already in this service tonight, I want you to give God thanks and praise for it. We magnify you, Jesus. We bless your name, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. So many good things moving all at once in this house tonight. I love and appreciate this children's choir. What wonderful worship. What wonderful ministry they're being a part of here tonight. And I appreciate and thank God for the privilege to be a part of a service like this. People are reclaiming promises in the house tonight. People are rising up and embracing a miracle that they thought or the devil had told them was out of reach, but it's in reach tonight. It's amazing how a moment in time like this can pull back something that veils the vision. But it's a wonderful thing that God, through this presence, can lift that and we can see clearly again the purpose and the calling and the vision and have our passion rekindled in the things of God. I appreciate all of your prayer tonight. And I believe the word of God. It says, these signs shall follow those that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I believe that word is moving in this house tonight. And your prayer, you're an apostolic child of God, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. Your prayer is powerful as anybody that ever lived in the Word of God, anybody that ever filled a pulpit. You've got the same Holy Ghost. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I praise God tonight for the privilege of being a part of God's people in God's church. Praise God. Praise God. I want to just for a second here. It's a precious presence of God moving in the house. But if you want to sit for just a second, we've got a little bit of business to do. We want to recognize Sister Teresa Rice. She's moved here from Tyler, Texas. And she's about to start a brand new job tomorrow. And she's sleep deprived. Pray for her. All that moving and everything and jumping right into a brand new job. And her daughter Crystal's with her from Oxford area there. And we're just delighted to see you guys this morning and again tonight. We're delighted to have you get by and welcome her. For some of you who have been around for a little while, that would be the storefront in the white building. Her contact for us in Tyler, Texas was Sister Wanda Brown. And there's a bunch of you that know Sister Wanda and remember them. And that's just really nice. And then from the great state of Wisconsin, we have the Hirschbergers, Brother William and Sister Melissa. And I've never seen them still enough to know how many children are with them, but it's somewhere between 6 and 12. And we're delighted to see them today, and they're considering a move to this area and to this church, and there's quite a work God is doing there. And so you want to be in prayer with them or get by and visit with them and get to know them a little bit. It takes a minute to get settled into a new place and to meet a new community of believers, and we want to be an open door for them and help them in their transition. What a precious presence of God in the house tonight. What good things are going on all over this place tonight. The word says that we sit together in heavenly places, and there are angels moving all over this place tonight, and miracles flowing in and out of the house, and business being conducted. Now, the stairway of God is in this place like it was at Bethel for Jacob, and angels are descending and ascending on the stairway. But it's not a ladder, it's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That ladder that Jacob saw was just a foreshadowing of what we actually embrace and know and experience tonight. How about our quizzers? Isn't that a wonderful group of quizzers and coaches and parents? That's a wonderful thing. It was great, great quiz tournament yesterday, and it's excellent to see the Copelands in the house tonight. They're in the area doing some work, and they were here for the quiz tournament yesterday. We're going to read tonight. We're still working our way through the book of Genesis. We're working with Noah, and we're going to launch from Hebrews 11 and 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Everybody said, Noah moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Praise God. If you love his word as you're seated tonight, let's give God praise and thanks, and let's bless his name. We bless your name, oh God. We praise you. We worship you and thank you and magnify you, oh God. Praise God. Praise God. It's going to be an interesting week. We're in the area of spring break, and we are turning the curve into Easter weekend, and a lot of folks are going to be on the road and traveling, and also be in prayer for your church family this week. And if you're having family activities and gatherings and all, I hope God blesses you richly in all of those things. Family is so very, very important, and we put a great deal of emphasis. Noah saved the world. And I understand God saved the world. God destroyed the world. But God uses men. God uses people. And God uses men to handle his gospel. And God uses people to minister. And he doesn't do the book of Acts. When Luke is writing to Theophilus, he said, that first letter I wrote you, the former treatise, he said that I wrote you about all that Jesus began to do and teach until Jesus was doing and teaching through the gospel record, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But then he is crucified and buried and ascends. And then 40 days later, he ascends into heaven. And now he's left his kingdom in the hands of these apostles. And it all begins there at Pentecost. And Stephen was dealing with that tonight. And we do need the power of the Holy Ghost in everything that we do. I appreciate the choir singing that tonight. And I just love, I could just stay here for a long time and listen to these folks sing and worship God. They do such a wonderful job. But Noah saved the world because he was responsive to God. But before he saved the world, he saved his family. And before he saved his family, he saved himself. He walked with God. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Building an ark begins with walking with God. Being used of God begins with walking with God. Being effective in the world begins with you walking with God. Being effective in your family. A lot of people want changes in the world, but friend of mine, the world changes. It begins with you. And the family changes begins with you. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now, I know the cynic and the skeptic will always be among us, and the bitter and the disillusion perhaps will be with us, but I'm just telling you straight from the Word of God tonight. If you want to see changes in your husband, you get a hold of God. If you want to see changes in your wife, you get a hold of God. If you want to see changes in your kids, you get a hold of God. If you want to see changes in the church, get a hold of God. If you want to see changes in your neighborhood, get a hold of God. You don't need political power. You don't need judicial power. You don't need financial power. You need a walk with God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of God because he was a just man and perfect, and he walked with God. And so grace is visited upon those who reach out to God and spend time with God. Saving your family begins with finding grace for yourself. If you've got to lay some things on an altar, get that done. If you've got to walk away from some bitterness, get that done. If you've got to reconcile yourself to the Word of God, if you've been a half-baked apostolic for a while, you need to become fully baked. You need to get all together in. You don't need to be maintaining some sort of relationship with the world in regard to things that God takes exception to. You need to make a decision tonight and say, I need to touch my family. I need to touch the church. I need to touch the world. And I can't do it with one foot in and one foot out. You got to make up your mind. The whole world was going to hell in Noah's day. Hello, the whole world is going to hell in our day. Somebody needs to get a hold of God. Noah saved the world. Saving the world begins with saving you. The ark was the vehicle. It was the vessel. It was the plan, the template. It was the methodology by which God delivered the world in that day. Today, the gospel, we're in a different dispensation, and the judgment is coming in a different way, and the way that God moves and deals with people is different today. And I can't give you the whole Bible study right now, but if you are a little bit deficit in those areas, you need a home Bible study. You need to enroll and let somebody come to your home or meet somebody at church and let us open up the Word of God to you. It'll take a little while. We commit, we invest in you, but I believe that it'll transform your life. I believe a Bible study, is there a witness in the house? Will a Bible study transform your life? Whatever you need to do, you need to begin to walk with God. Embrace the things of God. Say yes to God. God will, it doesn't matter where you are. You may have a mental list right now, or your first response may be, well, I need to get this right and get that right and change this and get relief in this area. No, you need to right now begin to do business with God. God will meet you where you are. You may have the stolen goods in your car tonight. You may have the drugs in your house tonight. You may have the evidence of your crime and your sin in your life and in your home and in your car and all of that tonight. But God will meet you right where you are tonight. God will meet you right. Mercy will say yes tonight. Grace will come to you tonight. But you've got to turn to God tonight. Everything else is a lie. The devil is a lie. Your past is a lie. Your sin is a lie. But if you can reach up and get a hold of what God has said tonight, God will meet you right there. Is there a witness in the house? Did you cry upon the Lord? And did God hear your cry? And did he come down to see about you? And did he pick you up out of a deep pit? God will do that tonight. Praise God. So as we're looking at at Noah tonight, we're looking at ministry to the family, and we're looking at Noah built an ark for the saving of his family, the saving of his house. Now, he saved the whole world, but his primary circle of concern was his house and his family. So, in our methodology and in our philosophy, our theological approach here at New Life, we teach a series of concentric circles for arriving at priorities and understanding the sequence of life and responsibility. And we start with the individual. We start with, say, the man, and then almost imperceptibly separated from the center circle, another circle, which would be the wife. And I know, I understand, not everybody fits this model, but I will tell you this, I'll never stop talking about this model because this is God's model. This is God's intention. Now, you may wander through life in a distorted or a broken frame, and that's the result of what happened in the garden. But friend, we'll always lift up grace, and we'll always lift up mercy, and we'll always lift up the gospel, and we'll never pull down the gospel to the level of human experience and create a lowest common denominator for the word of God. We'll say to you, it may be hard, but reach up and get a hold of it. It may be a little bit beyond your reach and your vision, but rise up and embrace the word of God. We're not going to dumb down the word, nor the truth. So we begin with the man, and we begin with his wife. The next circle. These are circles of authority. These are circles of priority. These are circles of influence. And so the next circle will be the children. And then the following will be the vocation, the job. And the last in our immediate group of circles will be the church. And life has all sorts of other connectives outside of that. And I'll give it to you again. You as an individual, if you're a lady, then the next circle is your husband. And the next is the children. And the next is the job. And the next is the church. And it may seem a little counterintuitive to put the church downstream. But again, we'll say it this way. The church will never be stronger than the individual. The church, no, that was pitiful. The church is never any stronger than the individuals that make it up. You got to have, I love corporate worship, and I love the communion, and I love all of this, but friend of mine, when it gets down to where you meet life and you meet God, it is a wilderness experience, and I've got to have my own wilderness victory. It's not enough that Jesus defeated the devil in the wilderness. I've got to go to that wilderness, and I've got to defeat that enemy, and I've got to say no to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life. And so we build that out. And when we're talking about building the house, it's closely tethered to this conversation tonight about building an ark. He moved with fear, and he prepared an ark to the saving of his family. He prepared the vessel of God for the saving of his household, of his family. And through it, he saved the world. And by it, he saved us. Look at how far-reaching this one man's ministry was. You can't tell how far the ripples will move out of your ministry, of your prayer life, of your saying yes to God. You don't know who you'll touch and how many you will save. I don't know their names. There was a group of them, and they were letting a man over a wall in a basket because he was under threat of his life. They didn't know what Paul was going to be. They didn't know that he would write most of the New Testament. They didn't know that he would change the world with his teaching and his church building and Bible school building. They just thought he was another guy in the church. I don't know their names, but their ministry preserved the life of one of the most dynamic characters in the Word of God. You have no idea how far your ministry will reach, but God's got an idea. I'm telling you, there's greatness down in that Holy Ghost that God gave you. There's greatness in the Word of God that is inside you tonight. There's greatness in the calling of God that's down inside you tonight. Don't tell me no. Don't shake your head. Don't list the problems. I want you to say yes. If God says yes, you need to say yes about that. Building the house, building the ark, synonymous conversations tonight. But he built an ark. He's going to save the world, but where it starts is with saving his family. And so our emphasis then, I'm glad you're here tonight, but this has to be real at your house. I'm glad that you're here tonight, but this has to be real in your walk when nobody else is there. I'm glad you're here tonight and we're worshiping and we're praising God, but I'm not going to follow you home tonight, and I'm not going to stand beside you in some dark room while you go on social media, and where you travel there is a true indicator. What you do here tonight is good and it's rich and it's powerful, but where you go in your moments when you're alone is who you really are. So character is displayed when you're alone. That's what I'm telling you. You've got to win this in that wilderness, that solitary place. Noah has to find grace in the eyes of God before Noah builds the boat, before Noah saves his family, before Noah saves the world. Noah's got to save himself. He's got to find out where his weak spots are and get those shored up. I know he's going to build an ark, but first he's got to build a Noah. I know you're going to build an ark, but you got to build a Matt. You got to build a man of God. You've got to build a woman of God. You've got to be a child of God in your moments when nobody else is around. You've got to be able to say no. Noah's whole world was going to hell. Nobody was living for God. We don't have record of anybody else. Only those eight were on that boat and they were saved. And that's because of Noah. And so he couldn't look for leadership anywhere else. The last man we have record of was Enoch. And so there's no model there for him. He's got to stand up in the middle of an evil generation. He's got to stand up in the middle of a terrible circumstance. He has to stand alone in that place because he's got a wife and he's got kids, but nobody else is standing with him to live for God. But I'll tell you, the testimony of Enoch and Noah is that you can stand all by yourself and live for God. That's what I mean when I say the church has strength from the strength of the individuals that stand in the house of God. If you can't stand by yourself, you're not the strength of the church. You're riding along in the wagon, and we're glad you're here. But my God, we need men that can stand all by themselves before God. People blame their wives. People blame their kids. People blame their past. Folks blame the world around them. They want to find some victim status to achieve. But I'll just tell you tonight, none of that washes with God. God's already got an Enoch standing by him tonight. God already has a Noah standing by him tonight. God's got a Joseph standing by him and a Daniel and the Hebrew 3. And they all stood in places all by themselves and said, no, we won't eat of the king's meat. No. We won't bow down to the idols. No, we won't go the way of the world. And they built themselves, and it was in them. So those exilic prophets, those exilic sojourners in Babylon, like Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel, they are standing in a place. Now watch. Their temple is torn down. Their priesthood is destroyed. Their leadership has failed. They are all alone in their integrity and in their passion for God. But they stand up in the middle of that in a pagan land and could easily have said, well, we're not in Jerusalem. The temple is torn down. The people have failed. The leadership has failed. They could blame it on all of that, but it was not outside them. It was not external. I'm glad for the externals. I'm glad you can come to church and you can feel the presence of God. I'm glad you can come to church and have the word of God preached to you. I'm glad you can come to church and be strengthened by those that are around you. But when you stand alone and you stand by yourself, it won't matter what somebody else has done or not. It will only matter what is inside of you. Shadrach had the kingdom of God down inside of him. Daniel had the kingdom of God down inside of him. Joseph had a dream down inside of him. Let's give God some praise. Let's magnify him. Before you save your family and before you save the world, you got to save yourself. It means you got to be able to stand this thing. When you first come, if you're brand new to the kingdom of God, we bring you in, we inform you, we lead you, we minister to you, we build you. The word is edify. We should do all things toward edification. We want to build you in the kingdom of God. And that's the purpose of the church and the fivefold ministry, pastors and teachers and evangelists and prophets and apostles. The fivefold ministry is designed as a facilitator ministry. We are to present you with the kingdom of God. But nobody can pull the trigger on free moral agency and your personal will. You have to do that yourself, and you've got to come to this. It's a long, lonely road down to an altar, but you got to do that yourself. When you go into baptism, it's not your family and it's not the group of people around you. You go into baptism all by yourself. When you get the Holy Ghost, you're sitting at the throne room of God all by yourself. People all around you clapping and talking in tongues. But friend of mine, that's a solo journey. You're praying a unique prayer. You're praising with a voice that is unique to God. Nobody else can pray that prayer. And it is exclusive to you. And it is a solitary journey into the presence of God. We create a framework here, and we hope to facilitate your experience in God. But if it never gets past what you're doing here, you're going to have the same disconnect that the Egyptian church has. Sunday's one thing, but Monday's something else. Sunday's when you go to church, but Monday's when you mix it up with the world. Sunday is when you make your commitments and sing your songs and testify and carry your Bible. But Monday you laugh with the boys down on the job and you walk in and out of the same things that they're involved in, and you handle all that they handle, and you're not much different than they are out there. Our world has a disconnect between Sunday and Monday, but we have understanding here. We know this is not the temple of the Holy Ghost. We know that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We know that this is not the house of God. We know that you are the house of God. And the house of God is the same on Monday, and it's the same on Tuesday, and it's the same on Wednesday. But you've got to get there before you can save your family. You can't take your family where you haven't been. You can't take them. You can't take people in ministry where you haven't been. Oh, I want to sing. I want to play. I want to teach. I want to be involved. I want to be a leader in the house of God. And something social is happening to you. Something cultural is happening to you. But I'll just tell you tonight, you can't take anybody anywhere you haven't been. And you're not eligible for that type of leadership and ministry until you've been there. Somebody ought to say praise God. You can't save me till you save yourself. You can't save the world till you save you and you save your house. Let's stop for a minute. Lift up every hand, every voice. Let's just talk to God. Love on him a little bit. Praise him a little bit. In the house tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, mighty God. Moto kera. Ita sera. Mondo ne che ti sarana. Itra dete cuono mai. Abunate e te se te un toto cuono. Avia sire. No. Amen, 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 amen. It struck me as strange, and it was a little bit uncomfortable. In the Philippines, in Manila, in that area, when you would send a young man on a on a errand from the Bible college there. He was first asked, but who will be my companion? And they never went anywhere by themselves. They always had somebody else with them. And when they would go, they would hold hands. And yes, I have a degree of discomfort at this, yes. That's why we do this. Yeah. Like, well, we may storm the walls like this, but that holding hand, man, that's just... It just, you know, it just doesn't work. But they would do that. They would hold hands together. And you need a friend, and you need people to love you, and you need the support of the church. And the church is a nurturing place. It's feminine in many of its qualities, and you need all of that. But the bottom line is where the heavy lifting happens. You go down into the realm of the spirit, and you dislodge the stone, and you carry it out into a place to build a memorial. You go down into the spirit. You girls are amazing. Girls go to the bathroom together. I mean, just it's a different universe. Hey, would y'all like to go to the bathroom? And y'all get up and twitter off and go. And the guys are like, that is so strange. That is so weird. Because you never, in a circle of guys, that's something you will never hear. I have never heard it. I'm 64 and a half years old. I have never heard guys say, hey, you want to go to the John? We just don't do that. It's like, no, you go on. I'm all right. Tell John I said hi. And community is important, and communion is important, and the word is very clear about it all, and everything has its place, but it all circles back and cycles back to that finite point of an individual, because you're born alone, and you die alone, and you'll stand in the presence of God alone, and where you do your greatest work in the kingdom of God, your public ministry or your public presentation will always be as effective as your private ministry and your private inspection of the things of God and your private prayer life and your private devotion. That's how far reaching your public ministry will ever be. You've got to win this down on the level of an individual. Hold on, I've got to go by myself. I've got some place to go, and I've got to go by myself. I've got to get down. Ladies, I know it's uncomfortable. You want a companion with you, but this is some place you can't go. We'll gather with you, and we'll pray with you, but we're not going to be with you when the enemy comes against you on Wednesday morning. We won't be with you down at the university or down at the job. We might not be with you when the trouble rises up on a day that you don't expect it. Nobody will be with you, but God, you've got to be able to stand up and say, I am the handmaiden of God, and I can stand. God needs some Deborahs to rise up today, and they say Barak won't do the job and the men won't rise up, but God can use a godly woman to lead a nation into victory. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Come, whoever's going to play tonight, come play. Let's just start heading in that direction. I think I've already done everything I want to do here tonight. God gave Noah a plan. God gave him perfect pattern. And when you build this, when you build this ark for your family, you got to build it according to the plan of God. We have to be God-centric. You realize it is estimated it took him 100 years to build that boat. It's hard to tell exactly, but if you get to looking at it, the length, the board feet, harvesting that lumber from a forest, planing it down, milling it. We've got a forestry expert here with us tonight that could tell us maybe in those terms exactly how that that would happen. But it took a long, long time. Living for God requires persistence. And it requires God-centric behavior. Getting up in the morning and saying, I don't particularly feel like this today, but this is the plan of God. This thing is not about feelings. There'll be days you don't feel like coming to church. There'll be nights you don't feel like changing the diaper on the baby that God gave you. There'll be all kinds of times when you don't feel the emotional connection to the activity that is required of you. But when we're living for God, we get up and we do the heavy lifting. We build the house. We build the connectives with God. We have to be, as Enoch and as Noah, God-centric. He has to be the most important thing in my life every day. Praise God. I love my wife. She is my best friend. She is the very best thing that ever happened to me this side of the gospel and being filled with the Holy Ghost. And we've walked a long way together. I love my girls, and I love these grandbabies that God has blessed us with. And I even love my sons-in-law. As much as I'm tempted to say something cynical about them, I won't. But I'm only as good to my precious wife as I am connected to God. I am only as valuable to these sweet daughters and these sons-in-law as I am connected to God. I am only as valuable to these grandbabies as I am connected to God. And my value to this church family, you don't need an empty suit in a pulpit. There are plenty of job seekers. There are plenty of career preachers, just like there are career politicians. I'm just telling you, you need people in your life, and you need to be a person that is connected to God at a solitary, individualistic level. Praise God. We need to be God-centric. We've got a plan for building the ark. This building is not the ark. If the rapture happens and this city still standing, this building will still stand here. It has no value at all other than it is a good barn to bring the harvest of God into. It's the only value that it has. It's a place where we can come and meet and worship God out of the rain. But I've worshiped God in a Nipah hut, and I've worshiped God in a barrio, and I've worshiped God in a garage, and we worship God in a storefront. You don't have to have excellent physical buildings or physical places, but you've got to have an excellent connection to God. It's the only thing that matters. This place is only as good as our connectedness as individuals to God. I'm not trying to undermine communion or the community of God, but I'm just telling you, we've got to build this by God's specifications. And it starts with lonely, solitary, individualistic prayer, consecration, focus on the things of God, real experience in the kingdom of God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. I've got to walk in God's covenant. The ark was God's invention. Noah just built it. The family is God's invention. And we have the sacred trust and honor of building families. The church is God's construct. It's where the gospel will, at its cutting edge, touch the city. We have the sacred trust of building it. But we've got to build the family according to the word of God, according to the plan. And we've got to build the church according to the word of God and according to the plan. It's God's plan, but God uses men to build it. Somebody say praise the Lord. Anybody here love your family tonight? If you love your family, you've got to be as great in God as you can be. Anybody love the church tonight? The church will only be as good, as strong, as effective as your individual experience in God. Noah built it according to God's specifications. He pitched it inside and he pitched it outside. He built it exactly as God told him to build it. He built it to withstand a storm. And the storm came. And when the whole world was dying and drowning, Noah and his family were in the safety of a place that was built by a dedicated individual who saved his family by working according to the specifications of the Word of God. You cannot be effective in the kingdom of God by being cavalier about the specs, about the rules, about the standards, about the theology, about the doctrine. You've got to be dead serious about all of those things. Life has a lot of variables in it, but the Word of God is forever settled in the heavens. And if we're going to be God's church, and this is going to be a boat that floats, if this is going to be a vessel that's seaworthy and that can stand against the storm, we've got to build it according to the Word of God. I'm not interested in finding where we can make it softer and easier. I'm not interested in creating a construct here that will placate your concerns, your natural desires or your natural weaknesses or anything like that. We want to hold up the standard of God and say, come on, get it. Come on, reach up and be this. Come on and hear the call of God and rise up to the standard and the level of God's plan. You want to build it according to the Word of God. Build your life. Build your familial boat. Build your church according to the specs of the Word of God. He said, if you build it on the rock, he said, I'll liken your house to a man that built his house upon a rock, and the rain came and the winds blew, but the house stood. He said, this is how it is when you build your life, your house, on the Word of God. Praise God. You want to build a boat tonight. You want to build an ark for the saving of your house. You want to build, and you know what you'll do? We can save a city. If we'll build this right and we'll build this well, we can save ourselves. We can save our families. And we can save a city. Somebody say praise the Lord. I'm not beating on you if you are living in a fractured family situation. Stand up in the middle of it and say, this begins here with me today. I know I'm talking about family. It's God's design. It's the design of the Word of God. And if your family situation has been broken up and fractured and scattered in 100 ways, you stand your raggedy self up in the middle of it and you say, it's going to change here with me today. I don't have the power to fix it. I don't have the power to change it. But I've got the power to build me. And I'm going to begin to live for God, walk for God, build it according to the specifications of the Word of God. You can do that today. Wife, if the husband's not living for God, you live for God with excellence. Child, if the parents are not living for God, you stand up and live for God with excellence. Husband, if nobody else is living for God, you stand up in the middle of that. Don't you back up for the weakness of your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife. Build the ark. Come on, church, let's build an ark for the saving of our house. Let's build an ark for the saving of the city. Let's build an ark for the saving of the world. somebody come and stand and say, God, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this, because you can't do this with others. You got to do this by yourself. I'm going to say yes. Somebody needs to leave something on an altar tonight. Somebody needs to leave something in an altar tonight. Whatever stands between you and your individual victory, you need to leave it in an altar tonight. Whatever stands between you and excellence in the kingdom, leave it on an altar.